ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Walk in righteousness, not the flesh. And it's not the end. He falls in love with a Philistine woman named Delilah. And her name, interestingly enough, not by coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidence, the Hebrew root speaks of making poor or to impoverish. That's interesting to me, because that's exactly what she's going to do with Samson. She'll take whatever he will give her and steal it away. And there's another thing for us to think about. What Delilahs do we have in our life that are robbing us, making us impoverished, spiritually speaking? Because whatever it is, if you give into it, it will take whatever you give to it. So we have to be careful. We have to be on guard. And don't go down to the enemy's camp. Don't go where you don't belong. And don't go after things that will leave you spiritually impoverished. And think about it. You know, how many people today call their daughters Delilah? I don't know any. Maybe you do, but I've never heard of anyone. And that's for a good reason. Walk in righteousness, not the flesh. Samson didn't guard his heart. That's another lesson for us. You know, when the Philistines find out what's happening, that Samson's going after one of their own, they hire her as sort of a, I guess she's kind of a hit man, you might say, or hit woman, to find out where Samson's power came from so they can overcome him, overcome his strength. He didn't guard his heart. He put himself in a very dangerous situation, and he's going to expose all that's in his heart to this woman, and it'll finally bring him down. Now, it's interesting that the Philistines want to know where is his great strength from. Think about that. Because, you know, years ago I used to have a T-shirt. It said God's Gym on it instead of Gold's Gym. And it had Samson there, and big, strong guy knocking pillars down. And that's how we think of Samson. I think he was a little pipsqueak like me. I don't think he looked very strong, because the Philistines are saying, where does this guy get his strength from? You got to find out. How is he doing what he's doing? So I think he didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's for sure. And so they wanted to know, where is this guy's strength coming from? Here's the thing. As much as Samson lusted after Delilah, I don't see Delilah in love with Samson at all. She was using him and stealing from him, you might say. She was more interested in the profit that she can make off of Samson by coming against him. What she would get in return for her information, money. The 1,100 shekels made up more than 140 pounds of silver. And as you read this, it seems like she was going to get 1,100 shekels from each of the five lords of the Philistines. That's a lot. So she's in love with money, and she's going to take it from Samson, making him poor, impoverished, spiritually speaking. And that's what sin does in our lives, you know. And we see that, we're going to see that played out for us as we get to the end of our study this morning. What happens with Samson? But what we see here with him, even though he didn't even realize this because he was so consumed with self, is that Samson was moving away from God. And as that happens, make no mistake about it, the enemy will bring forth the temptation. Look at verse 6 here in Judges chapter 16. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and what you may be bound to afflict you." Now, Samson loves to tempt us to sin, but also understand that Samson had placed himself in a situation that's causing him to be tempted, and that's foolish. And think about this question that Delilah asked Samson, okay? Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Do you think alarms should have been going off? I mean, that would be like, you know, me dating Julie. And she's going, "So how much money do you have, and how soon can I take it from you?" I mean, red flags, right? She didn't do that, please. She didn't do that. Because I didn't have any money. It didn't matter. But no red flags? Tell me, where your strength comes from, because we want to capture you. Wow, either he doesn't see it because of the temptation is so great, or he thought, what are they going to do to me? I'm Samson. Too prideful. I don't think he saw it as a problem, but the warning is simple. If you play with fire, you will eventually get burned. And that's what's going to happen to him. He's going to let sin consume his life. And he's not seeking after righteousness, but the satisfaction of his flesh. And he's going to lose big time. When Delilah said to Samson he should have fled for his life, when Delilah said this to Samson, he should have fled for his life, right? Exit stage left. Exit stage left. Get it on the right side, right? Whatever. Paul in 2 Timothy 2:22 said, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this verse. Shun youthful lusts and flee from them and aim and pursue righteousness. All that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others, and fellowship with all Christians who call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what we've been talking about here this morning, to pursue righteousness, seek after the things of God, and the things of the flesh, we're to flee from them. Don't play with them. You don't play games with the enemy. Because, again, what Satan loves to do is to say, hey, you're in control, you can handle it, and you can't. And so these lessons are here so we can learn from them. And if you go down this path, if you don't pursue righteousness, you're going to become spiritually impoverished. We're going to see that again with Samson. Don't go down that path. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We always think that, you know, we can handle it. What God said in his word is for somebody else and not for me, because I'm strong. I can do it. We have to be wise and walk accordingly. And yes, God uses these temptations in our life to test our faith. The thing is, don't put yourself, though, in those situations. Those situations are going to come into your life. It's different situations to tempt you. Satan is going to use it to tempt you to sin. God's going to use it to test your faith. And are we willing to seek after righteousness, to do those things that God has called us to do and avoid those things that God wants us to stay clear of? That's a choice for us. Samson put himself in this situation. And again, I think he's very prideful, thinking he could deal with it without a problem. But notice what happens next. You see, with this temptation, what it does in Samson's life, we see the lie of Samson. Look at verse 7 here in Judges 16. "And Samson said to her, 'If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire, so the secret of his strength was not known." Why did Samson lie to her? Because I think he knew what she was doing. And he wasn't going to tell her where his strength came from. He's playing games with her. And again, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. What's the source of your strength? "Well, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, I shall become weak and be like any other man." That's how far away from God Samson is. It was a lie. So this man of God is lying to Delilah instead of running away from her. And some don't see this as a big deal, but to me it's a huge deal, because to me it shows who you're following. Now please hear me out on this. Don't get offended by it. Hear me out. If you lie, you're following Satan. Why? Satan's the father of lies. What did Jesus say to the Jewish religious leaders in John 8, verses 44 and 45? "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Here's the contrast that Jesus is giving these Jewish religious leaders. The devil's a liar. That's his natural language. He doesn't speak the truth. And here's the thing. So if we're lying, are we following Jesus? No. Well, is that any lie? I think it is. If Jesus speaks the truth, there's no darkness in him at all. He can't. Can God lie? Can Jesus lie? Absolutely not. He cannot lie to us. He speaks the truth. If he speaks the truth and there's no darkness in him at all, and a lie is darkness, then if we're lying, if we're not telling the truth, we're not following Jesus, but we're following the father of lies, the devil. We're not imitating Christ. We're imitating the devil in his language. It's a lie. Now, some may not feel that it's as simple as that, but I think it is. If Jesus is all about truth, there's no lie in him, then how are we representing him if we're lying? I think it's as simple as that. The Bible talks a lot about lying. Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Hebrews 6:18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, who we have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So it's impossible for God to lie, as I said. And if sinning is missing God's mark of, perfection, then we miss God's mark of not lying when we're telling falsehoods. I think it's simple as that. Harsh words from Jesus in John chapter 8, directed towards the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who are accusing him about lying about his identity and claiming they were the true followers of God. And Jesus calls the devil the father of lies. Wow. Jesus spoke the truth, and I think we need to. Now, people go, but what about in various situations, dangerous situations? You don't want to reveal someone is there because they're coming to take them away and put them in jail, kill them, whatever. Does God need us to lie to help him out? See, that's a tough one. Now, I'm not saying those that were hiding Jews from the Germans did something wrong. But I don't think they were lying. They were just hiding them. I think when we cross that road into lying is when we get ourselves into trouble. And I think we need to be careful with that. Because once we start to lie, where does it end? See, there's where the danger comes. It's just one lie. Well, now I got to correct this lie. I've seen people, they get into so many lies, they don't even know what the truth is anymore. You got to be careful. How big is our God? Can he see us through any situation? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, really, look at all the situations that Paul the Apostle was in. Did he ever lie about his faith in Jesus? Well, no, I'm not really a follower of Jesus just to get out of trouble. No, everyone knew who he was. He didn't lie. Don't go down that path. Samson is starting down that path, and he's going to continue to go farther and farther down that path until it brings death and destruction into his life. So here, Delilah ties Samson up. He allowed it. Why did he allow it? He was playing a game. He knew that this wasn't going to keep him bound up. And then she yells, "The Philistines are upon you," and he breaks loose. Do you think at that point, again, flares are going up in the air? Danger, Will Robinson, danger. There's a problem here, right? I mean, come on. You tied him up. You called the Philistines. I think I would have been gone, right? Not Samson. And here's the thing. Just because Samson, lied here doesn't mean these temptations are going to stop. The temptations keep coming. That's our next point. Look at verse 10 here in Judges 16. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And there were men lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Wow. I don't get this guy. You know, come on. What is wrong with you? You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, or fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Samson's fooled again. Just playing these games. And I think the biggest issue for him was this lust of the flesh. It was controlling his life. And he lusted after Delilah, and he wasn't going to change his ways. And I love how she turns up the heat. She basically says to him, "Look, Samson, how could you lie to me? Don't you know I love you? Now tell me what the secret of your strength is, sugar cakes." You know, just laying it on, right? "What can you be bound with that you will not be able to break free? Come on, Samson." And he tells her. He lies to her. "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." And I think he's just having fun with her. But he's moving in this downward spiral, not realizing how far away from God he is. The second plan to bind him with new ropes doesn't work. And again, these instances probably took place over a period of time, hopefully not right after another. But again, whatever the case, it was dangerous. She doesn't give up. She wants her money. And she keeps coming at him. Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life to impoverish you. That's exactly what he's doing. Don't play with the enemy because the enemy will not give up until it has destroyed you. And that's exactly what she's doing. But I think he thought he was in control. I'm Samson. Temptations will come upon us because the enemy never gives up. It's not the issue. You know, you think, well, you know, I'm getting older now. Maybe it'll be a little easier. It's not. Why? Because your witness is still there. Your witness for Christ is still there, and the enemy wants to destroy that. He can't take away your salvation, but he can take away your witness. And so whatever he could do to tempt you to sin and destroy your witness, that's what he'll do. So it doesn't matter if you're 20 years old or you're 90 years old, those temptations will continue to come in your life. And you have to be careful. Don't put yourself in situations that will cause us to compromise our faith. Think about it. You were an alcoholic for years. You were got saved. Do you go in a bar to witness? No. Stay away. Don't put yourself in that temptation because it's just one drink. And then it's 2 drinks, and then it's 3 drinks, and then you're back in bondage again. Or what about you were involved with drugs, and God set you free? And now you start hanging around friends that are still involved in drugs. It only takes one to bring you down. Don't put yourself in situations like that. I remember years ago, this was probably maybe 30 years ago in Chicago, there was this high school kid basketball star, tremendous athlete, had all these offers for scholarships. He was meant to be a pro basketball player. Never did drugs, was a good kid. Went to a party and placed himself in a situation where someone offered him cocaine one time. He took the cocaine, he had a heart attack, and died. That's what happens when we give in to temptations. Death and destruction. We got to be wise and not play games. Samson played games here. And we're going to see he's going to get burned. This third circumstance where she's pestering him. He says, "Look, braid my hair, 7 braids. I'll be like any other man." Didn't happen. Here's the thing. As a Christian, your friends say, "Hey, you know, let's go out for a drink." Here's the thing. Don't lie to them. Just say, "You know what? I'm a Christian. I don't drink anymore. Don't say, I'm too tired, I don't feel good, or whatever. Just tell them the truth. Many times what ends up happening is they never want to have anything to do with you again. I mean, all my friends that I grew up with, I don't even have contact with anymore. I've tried to find them. I can't even find them anymore. Because as soon as I became a Christian, that was pretty much the end of it. I wasn't their drinking buddy anymore. That was it. Don't put yourself in a situation that's going to cause you to tempt you to sin. Learn the lesson. Draw close to God, and what does the Bible say? And the devil will flee. Draw close to God. So the temptations are going to keep coming. That's just the reality. Don't put yourself in them because they'll still be. You'll have many others there. But then it will finally lead to the complete compromise of Samson, giving in to temptations. Look at verse 15 here in Judges chapter 16. We're told this. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Wow. Samson is just a mysterious guy, man. Powerful man. Powerful before men, weak before women. He can kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey and yet fall to the nagging tears of a woman. And I don't know how long this pestering day in and day out took place, but she kept coming back until she finally gave in, or he finally gave in. "No razor has ever come upon my head. I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaving, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Now, does that mean that those who have long hair are in the will of God, and those that have short hair or bald are not? No. It wasn't the length of his hair, but it was his vow to God, that he was separated under God. His hair was a symbol of that vow to God. Now, Delilah knew that Samson was telling her the truth. I'm not sure how, but maybe he realized. Or she realized that this was coming from his heart. And the men that she was doing business with, the Philistines, they also knew. They brought the money now for the information. And Samson knew that obedience to God was the secret of his strength. But he just took it for granted. And he says, "Look, just shave my head. I'll be like any other man." This faithfulness to his flesh was stronger than his faithfulness to God. I guess for us, are there things in our life, temptations that we are allowing in? Because if there are, we have to be warned because, you know, like Samson, we'll eventually give in to those temptations. You know, what are we filling our lives with? Because it'll be manifested in the things we do, the things we say. Wherever our heart is, that's where our treasure is at. Just a few things about how we're living out our faith. Are we moving towards righteousness or are we allowing the flesh to control our lives? Have you noticed that the world wants to desensitize us to its evil? Absolutely is. Have you noticed the commercials that just are promoting homosexuality as a normal part of life? They just have couples in there, men and men, women and women. Those things that we were shocked with, we don't even blink anymore. I don't know. For me, it still bothers me. You know, I'm eating supper, seeing some of these commercials. I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want to know that. But the world wants to conform us to its image. And God wants to transform our lives from the inside out. You know, what are we filling our life with? I think that's important. Conformity is dangerous. The world has this mold, and look at how easily they can conform us. Imagine taking someone from the late 1800s and putting them in front of the television set today. What would they think? And I'm not talking about just the technology. I'm talking about the content. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. Even in my lifetime, and I've told you this before, but the Dick Van Dyke Show, I use as an example because I think it's a great one. Rob and Laura Petrie were married, and they slept in separate beds. They didn't, with their clothes on. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.